we doing, Ryan?
Good, James. How are you?
Hey, good. We're moving into May, out of April.
Out of April. So we're doing the April month kind of podcast here. NHL playoffs are getting underway. So those of you hockey fans, be prepared for some exciting stuff. Yeah. Good action. But I can't believe we're through. I mean, it's kind of the end of the spring, right?
Right.
Spring, to a degree.
I mean, through the first quarter, through April.
Yeah.
Through primary, through all of it, right?
Hey, you want to talk about spring, ask a Michigander. We respect and welcome it.
Pretty sure I had a pile of hail earlier.
Well, but that's the thing is, you know, very volatile.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
So, right.
Well, and if we kind of look back at April.
Yeah.
And kind of get into some of the, you know, the topics that we kind of talk about on our own and, you know, what we're looking at. I guess let's just start from the top like we normally do.
Start from the top. And what you're all here to talk about and listen to us talk about is how did the market do and kind of like get some traction and think about where are we headed. So let's just talk about the month of April. S&P 500, top 500 companies in the U.S. as measured by market capitalization, so size. We got that pullback. We got the pullback that was kind of manifesting itself earlier this year. We just hadn't taken much of a breather. But S&P 500 down 4.08% on the month.
Well,
pretty material, right, if you will. But recognize that markets need these moments to breathe, to set up for healthier movement if we continue higher.
Right.
So you actually welcome some of that volatility. So don't have an emotional response there. Bond market too. The aggregate bond market dropped 2.53%. So it had a rough month of April as well. So across the board, there really wasn't any place to hide in the month of April. And there's a reason for it. We'll get
into some of them, right? Well, now if we kind of look within the market and the portfolios.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, how do we stand there? How do we look there?
So nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. That truly was the case. But what about if one hiding spot would be a little better than the other? Even if there really was no protection. But still, you're always going to find those nuances within the capital markets. So a lot of what happened in the month of April was this resurgence of inflationary pressures. Inflationary pressures pushing things higher, pushing interest rate cut expectations lower. And that narrative continued to play out. So in portfolios, it was really important for us to have the durability of quality, large, well-established U.S. companies with a bit of a tilt towards growth, but maybe starting to shift a little bit more towards quality that you find in lower premium stock exposure. So when I say lower premium, what I'm saying is the stock price has not elevated so high relative to earnings. Right now, we can start to think about maybe some opportunities there. But what has really worked is continuing to work, and that's just large, well-established U.S. companies with a bit of a growth tilt. We're starting to look outside for a little bit of opportunity. And then in bond world, for those of you who have bonds, typically retirees or just anybody who wants really in-depth diversification, recognize that as we wrestle with containing inflation, there's going to be interest rate volatility. So there's a couple paths you can go down. You can say, yeah, I'll just expect the volatility and bump around in my bond portfolio. But recognize most of us look towards bonds as kind of that stabilizing mechanism. So we want to be really careful with the duration or the sensitivity to interest rates that we have put to work. So that's kind of what our clients are experiencing right now. Those of you who are thinking about how you're going to adapt in your portfolio, by all means, reach out to us.
Right. And we don't look, you know, we don't try to like predict each month, right? But and we do talk about what we've talked about sometimes in previous podcasts. And I guess it was interesting. We don't have to go back that far.
Yeah.
Except for to the last podcast, we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe be prepared
right. For
some softness in April.
Yeah.
Now we've kind of gone through it.
Right. Right. The conditions were prepared, you know, they were cultivating an environment where volatility would have been expected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of this really short-term expectation that we can seek out, it really has to do with the market structure. And what is market structure? Well, how about this one? Just simply stated, if I'm going to buy a stock, somebody's got to sell it. Well, who's going to sell it? Okay, we've made this really simple, and we typically have market makers who are the ones who match up buys and sells. And if there is no buy for the corresponding sell, they'll make the market. and they'll take the position. Well, a lot of what we look towards, that's the structure. So you're looking for things like gamma flip lines, da-da-da-da-da. All I'm saying is this helps us derive a trend, okay? And a trend is really important because you can be prepared for market volatility, but say, yeah, to a point. And when we get to that point, there's really an important inflection. Okay, so imagine here in Michigan, we talk about the volatility of weather.
Right.
Well, that corresponds with volatility of temperature. The tires on our vehicles, we can't get in and expect them to be the same PSI every morning because you know what? That's going to change with the temperature. But there's a band that you're willing to accept. Well, what if that tire PSI goes below the lower band that you are willing to accept? Well, now you need to look into it and you need to scout out is there really a problem here? Imagine if we could use the market structure to determine what that band is and actually have it adapt and move with the market environment. So the beauty of the softness that we got, it was rather therapeutic in that it respected that lower bound through the month of April. So that's very constructive and it's very healthy. So yes, the conditions were ripe for market volatility, but it's been a rather controlled event. And so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, and we're through it, right?
Yeah. We got that one in the
books.
To
April.
Yeah. Month of April.
Now, I know we talk a lot about the Fed and we talk a lot about raising rates and lowering rates and when are they going to do this? And, you know, I think typically we say the Fed's the one that controls the lever, but sometimes they're not the ones that raise or lower the rates.
Oh, right? Yeah, good point. I know where you're going with this one. Yeah. So we step into 2024 with this idea that, hey, cool, inflation is retreating. We can now, you know, just get off this idea that interest rates are going to continue to go higher. You know, the Fed has said they're done raising rates and stuff. But ... Okay, inflation isn't really playing along.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, you'll never really find throughout history, and, you know, some people go ahead and fact check, but look, you're not going to find most of the time that you will find that you're going to get the Fed to stop raising rates and then start again.
Yeah.
So remember what the Fed did. They took interest rates from zero to north of 5%, but that's the overnight lending rate for banks, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a Fed funds rate. Okay, so the Fed, the hope is that they push and pull on that anchor rate, and then the market will kind of go off of that anchor rate. Okay, understood. And that makes logical sense. But when you have a Fed that said, okay, we're done raising rates, but then the inflation data doesn't really play nice, well, the market's going to raise rates for them.
Right.
Because remember, the Fed is only setting that Fed funds rate, and they're doing things within the market. I get it. Okay, fine. But the market forces can raise rates on the Fed. And when you want to know, is the market raising rates on the Fed, look at the very short end of what's called the yield curve, or the very short-dated government bonds. That's where you'll find whether the market's raising. So in the month of April, you saw the market raise rates for the Fed. And so, you know, I guess I'll say this, and I'm going to send a video to my clients here shortly too, and I'll give this audience the same info. You know, when you're looking at these interest rate increases in that really short end of things, you have to be very aware that the market is very smart. And the market is out there really trying to enact the change. And sometimes, you know, the Fed is just late to the party and they'll get it done for them.
Right.
So there's some certain things we got to be prepared for and looking at, you know, as we move forward.
Staying on top of it, right? Is there a playbook or a strategy or something that if we're looking at whether rates are going to stay higher or if they stay higher, what do we do or what are the answers there, right? Because I feel like we've talked about rates for a few years now.
Right. You know, and again, I don't want to get too far down this road because I know we're tight on time, but recognize this. The rate cuts that the market is, come on, more cowbell. We need more rate cuts. Let's party.
Right.
It's short, cheap energy.
Yeah.
You know, actually, the stuff that keeps inflation elevated. And this isn't a societal discussion. This is just your portfolios, folks. Mm-hmm. It's actually beneficial because why? That means the economy is growing. How do you think corporate America is able to continue to beat top line earnings estimates, right, things. It's because that there's this robust economic movement below the surface. So when that slows down, that's when the Fed can cut rates. Does that sound like it marries up well to long-term economic progress, which then would translate into higher corporate profits, which then would translate into higher, you know, market valuations?
Right.
So I'd just be the higher for longer idea. That actually is probably not bad for the portfolios, no matter what the narrative would tell you. And certainly, you've got to navigate and manage. So, for instance, you'll continue to see interest rate volatility and things like that. So, but we know that. So, I think that higher for longer, unpopular opinion, can be embraced to a degree. Can be embraced to a degree.
So, is that kind of why we're seeing all these all-time highs? You know, that we came out of in March and in down from a little bit here in April?
Absolutely. That and the fact that we're running a wild deficit at the fiscal level. Right. So, you know, there's
a lot. That's another podcast.
Yeah. Totally. Well, isn't there some political thing you're going to talk about at some point?
No.
Okay. We'll see if we can get this done and you skate away. Right. But no, so you just recognize it from the perspective of the environment that cultivates, you know, portfolios going up.
Right.
It's not necessarily aggressive rate cuts. Now, throughout history, we have seen rate cuts into strong economic environment from the Fed. In fact, it was Jay Powell. But I don't know that that's what we would hope for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so you mentioned something about the presidential stuff.
Oh, what you didn't get far, did you?
Well,
I'm not touching this.
You're still going to look ahead. So maybe you can tell us.
Okay,
that,
okay. I'll do that.
You know, we've kind of touched on, you know, the fact that we are having an election this year and some of the trends that we see. And without going into all of them, maybe we'll touch on them on different podcasts. But, you know, the one that we wanted to at least get to today is what that first 4 or 5 months typically looks like in an election year.
Right.
And we've already kind of started to move through that, right, Ryan?
Yeah,
you know, through client events and everything else that we've done. But if we look at those first 5 months kind of in the primaries, you see a lower historical average, a little bit more volatility. You know, we were a little different this year in the first quarter, right, as we look back at those different podcasts.
Big move higher.
Because it was going higher, but that's because we had some certainty, right? We knew to some degree who the two candidates were going to be,
yeah,
right? Not saying we want one over the other, but we had an idea who it was.
Right.
And the market was kind of digesting that certainty.
Does it really matter?
No. If you look historically, it doesn't, right? Historically. Usually under both leaderships and different time frames, that long-term graph goes up.
Yeah.
You know, you can overlay other things to see what's going on during that time that gives the peaks and the valleys.
Right.
But, you know, typically long-term, you know, that's not the main driver in the month to month or the year to year.
Yeah.
Right. But we're on top of all those trends, different layers within the portfolios.
Absolutely.
But, you know, as we kind of maybe make that turn through April, the softness that we talked about, you know, we actually see that as a typical first 5 months in an election year too.
Yeah.
You know, so all those trends we talk about, you know, they start to kind of get pushed through.
Yeah. Right? Well done. Yeah. Well said. And I guess with the whole idea of looking ahead, I'm going to play on what you just wrapped up here. It's this presidential election year. One thing when I think about like the market structure, I'm always looking for who's hedging and what are they hedging.
Right.
You know, you can buy insurance on a portfolio, okay? Mm-hmm. Traditionally speaking, election years have tight races. You get a lot of hedging around the event.
Yeah.
Tremendous amount of hedging for November. And I'm talking about VIX future options. For those of you who want to go look that up, go ahead. VIX future options and how they're pricing. So anyway, we can expect that it's going to be definitely an explosive election.
Yeah.
But with respect to the market, I think it's kind of a snooze fest because after all, the president, sure, policies and things can shape an economic environment, but it's really the corporate leadership and the consumer that's driving the vehicle there. So I think that we came through a very healthy corrective move. I think that the economic data is still tremendous that's coming in. So that's a really good thing. We're in the throes of earnings season. We'll touch that next month. But things are very positive in the backdrop. I would say this, though. Things are positive in the backdrop, but if the Fed does make a hawkish pivot where they go, you know what, we thought inflation was under control, but you know, we're going to have to try and reel this in. Well, we need to adapt to something like that. We have to be fluid, and we always are fluid, because we cannot be so focused and stubborn on one construct that we're not able to adapt. That's what gives our clients the edge.
Well, and we'll be here for it.
You right. bet.
Well, thank you for joining us, Ryan. Thank you for the topics and conversation all the time. And we'll see everyone next month.
Sounds great.
Thanks. Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.